turn to our bug bite section and take a look at a couple of really interesting insect facts or bites about these insects. And one of them has to do with galls. And I remember taking a class from Ivan Palmblad at Utah State University. It was biology 106, which I guess now would be 1060. And it's really what got my interest going, not only in insects, but just the natural world around me, because he assigned things to you that you had to pay attention to. One of those topics that I personally took an interest in were galls, because I'd seen them on blue spruce and
common on sage and rabbit brush.
And a couple of different other trees. Yep. And I remember opening up the gall that I had seen on a blue spruce, and it looked like a little teeny apartment complex.
Exactly.
I mean, just little teeny insects all over the place.
That's a great description.
So that's what I wrote in my paper, and he loved it.
Yeah.
But that's what it is.
Aren't galls fascinating?
Yeah.
And so this fairly recent story that was in the Entomology Today about insect galls, really brings home how amazing, how diverse, how evolutionarily advanced some of these insect gall makers are, but at the same time, how little we as entomologists, as humans studying them, really know about them and how they work and how they can make the galls and how these galls can be so perfect little apartment complexes. But let's back up and say, you know, what are galls? Why would an insect want to make a gall? So you just brought up one point by saying apartment complex, because it makes a home for it, right? So it makes this great habitat where the young in particular, because they usually leave the gall when they're adults and go off and make more galls for their young. So it's the place to live. But what else do you think might be so ideal about this little complex or gall that they make? What's the insect have access to? An unlimited supply right there.
The food
and the food that it wants and the way that it wants it. So the way that they think, and we don't know this, it may even differ across different kinds of gall-making insects, but we think what they're doing is injecting a fluid. Generally, we think it's coming from their salivary glands, but there may be other sources of fluids that we are just not sure about yet. They inject into the plant, and that these mimic a plant hormone. So these are chemicals that regulate plant growth and development, and basically kind of intervenes with their normal genetic code that says, okay, this bud's going to grow into a flower or to a leaf or a stem or whatever it's genetically coded to do. And it alters that. So it's still a leaf or a stem or a flower bud, but now it doesn't look like it normally does and doesn't function like it normally does. It's now become this insect apartment complex. And so it basically is interrupting or interceding or putting into the genetic code something different to make it grow into its desired shape and structure.
So the insect is sitting there on the limb, and it's having this form around it?
Yeah, so that's exactly what happens. So the way they generally work, and again, there's some variation, but the insects will lay their eggs in very particular, precise places on the plant that they're going to make this gall. And so the eggs hatch, and it's actually the young that start to feed. And most of these have a sucking kind of mouth part, but not all. There's galls. Gall wasps and gall flies that have different kinds of mouth parts. So exactly how they do it, that's what we're not sure. How like a fly with a sponging mouth part can make the plant, you know, inject this hormone mimicking compound into the plant to make it make the gall. But it has to be in very precise location. And then the young basically have the structure grow around them. And so it builds a home around them while they sit there and feed in perfect contentment. And so what else? So they have a home and food, but what's it now protecting? Yeah, it's protecting.
From predators.
Yeah, so who's going to be able to get to that insect inside the gall? Nobody.
And if you look at a gall on a blue spruce, I think we've all seen them, but we may just not have known
what they were.
They start out red, and then when they dry out, it goes brown.
Right.
But they're little, I think it's just needles that are poking up through the gall.
Exactly.
Is that what it is? And so what insect's going to want to get through all those needles to get to...
So in the case
Something
of the coulee spruce gall adelgid, that's the full name for that one that you see on the blue spruce around here, it's laying its eggs right on that new little, we call it the candles, where the new needles are forming right underneath, and you've probably seen those little sheaths of kind of skin that come off when the new needle growth comes out, and it's really tender underneath. And that's right where it's laying its eggs, right there at the base of that, so that the young adelgids, which are like an aphid, can get to that those new needles and feed. And then instead of having normal needles, it makes this kind of like prickly looking pine cone. I've heard people say, what are those pine cones on my spruce? And it's these galls that they've formed. And so they are still leaves or needles, but they've been greatly altered to make this structure. And I just brought along a book. You out there in Radioland can't see it, but just for Brian, you can leaf through all the different kinds of insect galls. So some of the most common groups of insects that make galls are the aphids and the adelgids and psyllids. These are all have these piercing, sucking mouth parts. But there's also, as I mentioned, the gall wasps. These are the ones that make more of the like apple-looking structures on like oaks and things. And there's some flies that make galls. And there's also aerophyid mites, these little teeny tiny mites that make little bumps on leaves and things that are galls. So they're really quite fascinating. And like the honey locust pod gall midge, that's a fly. If you've ever had honey locust, and then instead of the leaves being these normal leaves, are like little round, little knobby things.
Mm-hmm. I've seen the little red bumps.
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually pulled those open to discover that there was a little worm inside. So I knew something was going on.
It's so fun. And I mean, of course, I'm an entomologist. So people would say this is, you know, you think this is fun. But when it was the greatest thing when my kids were little and we were trying to get them into wanting to hike on local trails and, you know, how kids are, oh, I'm tired. Are we there yet? I would show them different kinds of insect galls you can see along the trail, and other things too, but galls were one of the fun things because they had this little prize inside, this little exciting thing that you just said. You can break them open and see the little worm inside. And so we talk about the different kinds of galls on rabbit brush and sage and different kinds of plants, and they would walk along and see who could. I had two kids, and they were competing to see who could find, you know, the next gall, and so it was a way to get them to hike down the trail. That was my goal.
Sounds like it worked. So with our native plants, have they evolved this mechanism to either ward off some of these galls or to be able to at least survive and not have enough energy tapped out of them that they can't keep going?
Right. I mean, there certainly are many native plants and native insects that do cause galls. So they're not excluded. I mean, some of our ones that cause some of our biggest problems tend to be the invasive ones, the ones that, you know, weren't here naturally with the plant to start with, or they, you know, developed somewhere else and then now they're causing more problems. But generally, they're not too pestiferous in their nature. There's a few exceptions, some of these invasive ones, but mostly they live in harmony, so to speak, with the plant. I mean, yes, the plant is altered and it didn't have quite the normal growth in that area, but generally the galls aren't so numerous that they're impeding the health of the plant over time. They're generally able to kind of, you know, co-evolve together. And it makes sense if you're an insect that's utilizing a plant to make your home on, you don't want to kill it off because you need it to be there for you and your children to come.
I know when you look at, I keep coming up with blue spruce, but they look like little pine cones.
They do.
Some people might think that that's what they are, but they're not.
They're not.
So why don't you explore and see what's actually in there?
Yeah. So once those get hard and brown, you can use like a knife to cut them open, and you can just see there'll just be all these little empty hollow holes inside where the adelgids had lived in their little apartments, homes. If you get one that's still green and kind of purplish in color, sometimes it'll turn purplish, and cut that open, you will actually see the little adelgids still inside. And they're like little aphids that have a white waxy covering on them, so you can see them easily.
Diane, thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome.